Comment a piece here, and you're watching CMS TV.
It's brand new Axel Rudy Pell, Guardian Angel. Featuring a voice from heaven known as Johnny Gioeli. And we want to welcome Johnny back to the show. Welcome back, Johnny. Glad to see you.
Hey, bro. Good to see you too, man. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Voice from where? I don't know where. Thank you, man. That's the worst song on the entire album. Just going to tell everybody straight out. Worst song.
Well,
worst song in the whole album. If you like that song, you're going to love the album.
There you go.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to, one of the questions right off the top of my head, since I don't think I've had the opportunity to really talk in depth about your involvement with Axel Rudy Pell, but you know, I'm a big fan. I've been a fan, you know, of all the records and you know, when you look back on a body of work as far as the catalog is concerned, there's not one clinker in the bunch. Every goddamn album is just solid. Every single one of them is solid. So what I want to know is, what is the process of recording and writing an Axel Rudy Pell album? Is it a collaborative thing? How does that work? What is the dynamic in the band between you and Axel?
We take the prior year's album vinyl and we reverse it. And then that's how we create the new album. No, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. No, so here's what's incredible. You know, so Axel, the musicians surrounding Axel, we do nothing but our job. I sing. I don't write any of the lyrics. We don't participate in any of the writing. That is Axel. That is Axel's band. That's all his work. And I've asked him a million times to step out of that box a little bit and just like, hey, come on, let's try this, let's try that. Nope. And he's smart because he stays within his box and it works, man. I mean, we've sold, thankfully, millions of records, literally, and just tons of fans, and these albums, they sell. It works. You know what I mean? It works. He's got a little niche.
The interesting thing too is, it's not like it works, but people are like asking for anything more either. Like I know I was looking at the. I was looking up the Guardian Angel video earlier today, and I just went through the comments because let me be honest, I wanted to see Johnny getting hammered here and there. and I looked through and there's nothing. There's nothing. I hate to, I'm being as honest as I can. Nobody.
Okay, cool.
There's a couple of things in there. There's like maybe there's 150 comments or whatever, and there's like three or four that are like, that's the same as the last album. But even though
it is, that's what we do.
Kind of what the comments, you know, they'll say it's the same as the last album, but why fix what isn't broken?
Well, it's the ACDC.
Yeah.
Effect, you know, you know what you're getting.
That's right.
That's exactly right, man. And what's crazy, crazy incredible about this band is that we could tour if we weren't so damn old and in pain, waking up out of a tour bus bunk. We could tour anywhere in the world at any time.
Right.
And pack it. It's incredible, man. It still blows me away. Sometimes I scratch my head and I go, wait, okay, all right, I get it. You know, they bus people in to these shows. It's insane. I have a blast, man. I have fun. Okay, yeah, a lot of these albums do. They sound alike. You're exactly correct. It's kind of like that AC/DC three chord kind of thing. It works, but it's fun. I have fun, man. It is so. I don't want to say the word easy because I mean it's not easy what we do, but for me, it's just
it's comfortable,
natural. It's comfortable. Yeah, it's it works, man. I mean, it's just it's we. I'm looking forward to. We have so many shows, man. We're it's gonna be wild,
dude. Is it hard to remember lyrics that you didn't write? Well, that you didn't write. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you write them, you know them. But if somebody else writes them and it's not, you know, Sweet Child of Mine or something that you've heard a million times before, I can imagine that's hard to remember.
Shit, man, I don't remember what I had for breakfast. So for me, fuck, it's it's hard. It's very hard, and especially because the actual lyrical content is not one of great depth and substance. So it's just, I'm not ranking on him. I love Axel. But yeah, full transparency, I use teleprompters because I can't remember the shit. There's a lot of songs. There's a lot of songs, man. There's a lot of albums, 103 albums of my own, including Axel albums. I need to read the damn lyrics once in a while. I know them, but you know, you get older and you just need that comfort level of just having that screen there. So, but it is, yeah, it's hard when you don't write the lyrics. It's hard.
How does the recording process go? I mean, you know, everybody does it different these days because it's not like the old days where you all gather at a studio and this, that, and the other. But do you record together or do you do the vocals remotely and, you know, send them as a file through the interwebs, or how does that all work for you?
Yeah, you nailed it. So 90% of the band is in Germany. Bobby Rondinelli flies to Germany and he records old school. We record this stuff old school in the studio. I'm the only loser that doesn't go there. I used to, but then I'm like, wait a minute, listen, I don't need any more schnitzel. Let me just record here. I have my own studio. So what we do is exactly what we're doing right now. Axel and I, we frame out all the songs over like a Zoom, a video, and we go line by line and he can hear into my studio. And we experiment and I scream into my microphone and do the whole thing with him right there. And like, okay, let's try this. Let's try that. And we work like, so it's usually, you know, around his 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock hour and, you know, afternoon for me. And that's the way we go through that's the way we've done it for the past 10 years. I would say.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the rest of the band, old school, go there. Axel still, it's crazy, man. He still like writes the albums like and records that on like this little recorder. And then sometimes even the melodies, he'll go in and into the studio and reproduce what he has on his little recorder. And then we kind of follow along. That's the process.
Wow. Well,
you forgot one piece of the process, Johnny, which is where you send me a text that says, I'm going to be busy for the next 5 hours in the recording studio. Don't call me.
Pretty much. Yeah. 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 That this is true. But we try to do and you know, we make these albums fast. I'm going to tell you. So vocally, that entire album, that is 4 days of vocals and maybe a day or two of touch-ups because we want to take some time and listen. And I go, oh, wait, I can hit that better. Let me hit that line. Let me hit that. Let me hit that. We don't do all this computer crap, you know, of taking things and stretching them and this and that. We sing this shit. Right. That's on. The way it works in this band. Well, so, so we knock them out fast. In a few weeks, the albums are done. Not written, but recorded.
Well, tell me, maybe a little inside baseball here about, you know, sonically the albums all sound, you know, tits, you know, they're always good quality production and everything. Then you get other bands who put out an album that they may have been working on for a while and it comes out and it sounds tinny or bass heavy or the production is just shit. And it's, what makes the difference there? Is it the equipment? Is it the producer? Is there money involved? What do you think is the biggest factor in that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think if there was a multiple choice and said all of the above, that's the box I would check off. I will tell you, this album was mastered by a different company that we had. You know, mastering is that kind of putting, for the listeners, putting the polish on everything, making sure that the entire album has a certain EQ, you know, the certain high end, certain low end, not just individual singing and the guitar playing, the whole album. That's basically what mastering is. And it's sticking to a guideline of what, that's why one album is not louder than another album when you hear it on Spotify or wherever. It's mastered. It has to stay within these requirements. We mastered this album with a different set of people, and it made a huge difference. So that's one aspect of it. And then the rest is the there's some money behind it. The more money you put into it, the better equipment, and you can spend so much money making albums by just tweaking little things here and certain equipment. And you know, thank God I don't have to deal with that. I have a killer microphone, killer preamp, and I don't do, you know, any effects or any mixing. I sing and I send that file off and off it goes to be touched up.
That's with Axl, but you captured on your other stuff, on Crush and on Hardline and even on Enemy Eyes and stuff. You always capture the big sound. So you must have somebody in your camp somewhere that has that ear for that, no?
Yes, I cannot reveal my sources or secrets.
It's that producer,
yeah,
Lenny.
No, we do. It's producer Lenny. Yeah, no, yeah, it's true. Like with the Hardline stuff, of course, Alessandro Del Vecchio has always been instrumental in production. Along with your producer comes their sound. Here comes their studio, you know, so you kind of get what you get with these, you know, different guys. But, Axl has his engineers. He has certain studios that he uses that fits that box of that sound. And that's how it, that's how it works. And the rest is just like, you know, my voice sounds the way it sounds, you know what I mean? And I don't know, man, I can't explain it. Just yeah.
Have you how often do you get say vocal rejected and say, hey, could you recut this vocal, or could you put more vibrato in this one, or could you do anything like that? Any kind of, you know, critique or saying, you crushed it on this one, but this other one, you need a little more something or other, and they kick it back, anything like that?
Neely, I'd kill someone if they, no, I'm kidding. Axl, since we're on that, the Axl subject, yeah, once in a while, you know, he has it's his band, and he has a vision, and as a songwriter, and he hears it a certain way. And sometimes if I'm a little soft or a little too heavy or a little, you know what I mean? We adjust. It's not too often because, again, 26 years with Axl Rudy Pell. I know how he thinks. I know what he wants. And a lot of times he'll go, Johnny, it's kind of like a da-da-da-da-da-da. I go, okay, I got it. And then I send him the song. It's done. He's like, yes, that's it.
All right.
When you work with someone so long, you're like, you know exactly what Chris is going to say next. Well, no.
No one knows that. Come on.
Strike that shit. Yeah. But with Axl, that's the way that rolls. Yeah. Same with Alessandro, too. I mean, I've been, again, many, many years. And it is true. Like, I just did this song. Because I'm part of this charity, Popcorn for the People, And it's all neurodiverse employment, and it's so awesome. I mean, it's the most incredible thing that I've been involved with to help these people be employed. They're fully capable, et cetera, et cetera. And with Ale, I wrote the song called Together We Can, because we're having this big gala in New York City in October and raising money to open more facilities, et cetera. And I still have the files here. I hummed the song here and I said, okay, Ale, you know what I need. And the whole song came, we're changing one little bridge, but the whole song came to me fully produced. And what's today? Today, Saturday. Yesterday, I spent 2 hours on the song, done.
Wow.
So it's, you know, that's really the way it should roll, man. I mean, that's the way it should. If you have to really work and fake, and then something's the
common. It stops having flavor.
Yeah, when it becomes work, and then and it doesn't flow, it's not right, man. It's the wrong combination of people, you know, that kind of shit. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Well, Johnny, I want to ask you if you have any thoughts on this or know what the reasoning or behind it is, but there's some bands out there that, you know, I understand the ownership and the royalties and the
rights. Oh, Johnny don't know nothing about royalties.
No clue about royalties.
The rights to their catalog. So they'll re-record their catalog, you know, so they can have the rights to that, you know, that re-recording thing. But there's other bands out there that re-release a song or two from their catalog, one of their classics or something. Well, here's the 2018 version. Here's the 2024 version. What is the impetus behind that? Do you have any thoughts on that? Are you familiar with people who do that kind of thing? No, they re-release like one or two of their most popular tracks and they re-record it and then they release it. And one of the ones we were talking about a week ago was the Bullet Boys. I think they've re-recorded Smooth Up In You like four times. It's like,
yeah, why? It's no longer smooth.
It's like, why?
It's roughed up in you now. I know. I don't know, man. I think, well, there's a couple things, and I don't think I've ever done this. Have I, Chris? Have I ever re-recorded shit? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Maybe, no. Maybe some Crush 40, some gaming stuff, because that's, you know, to modernize some of that for a new edition game or something, like I might have done that. But I think there's two reasons, and you touched upon them. One is to regain rights control over a version, because if it's a new version and it's a new release, then you can capture your rights, royalty rights on that again. But I think this is just bullshit talk here. I think a lot of us crazy ass musicians envisioned it a different way. You know, after we release something like, damn it, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. And it's an opportunity to do it. You know, at least for me, if I were to re-release something, especially off of like Double Eclipse, you know, 32 years ago, I would have done some things differently. So I think those two reasons, one, royalty, you know, master rights, you know, kind of like a Taylor Swift kind of thing, which she did. And then just vision, just to, you know, kind of re-up.
Well, and dude, I know you're not familiar with the Bullet Boys thing. I was meaning to send you this because this would work for me and you. They're literally selling the ability to get a piece of the royalties to fans that bid to help them pay for the re-recording.
Oh, shit. We don't need them as a client, man. That's too complicated. That's too fucking complicated. Well, that's, you know what, that's pretty interesting, man. It's like a vested interest in the. Okay, that's weird as hell. But if that works for them, cool.
Yeah, until you try and figure out 70 people on the royalty list.
How is that gonna? Jesus. Yeah, I don't know how they're. I don't know how they're doing. I don't, honestly.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I won't be calling Mark anytime soon.
Yeah, no, please. Forget about that. Yeah. Well, yeah. If the listeners don't understand what we're talking about, Chris and I have this company called Starving Artist, and we guide and help musicians, very famous musicians, collect royalties that they didn't know exist.
Right.
Or, you know, this is a digital world that we live in. And if you were making records back in the 70s, you may not understand today's collection and collections and your rights to your works and on all these different platforms and featured artists, non-featured artists, union, non-union, blah, 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 on and on. It's very complex, and it's so complex that I make Chris do all the work. It's too much.
Well, that part ain't true.
Well, another thing I had for you there, Johnny, is a few years ago, there were these tribute albums running rampant out there where, you know, it seemed like they were all the same different artists that were always contributing to these records, like the Jizzy Pearls of the world or the Tracy Guns or whatever. And they would put out these whole, not them, not the artists, but like a Cleopatra Records or somebody like that would put out this collection of songs re-recorded with Tracy Guns on guitar and Jizzy Pearl on lead vocal and this, you know, and they would cover somebody else's song. I never understood that. Do you have any insight on that at all? Because there was like a shit ton of those things out there in the marketplace at one time.
Yeah. I mean, we have some cover albums for sure. Axl's got a few. Yeah. For us, I can only speak for us. I don't know what the MO is for the rest of those guys, but for us, we like to pick these obscure songs and you know, basically, you know, work them with our sound to hear what that song would sound like with our sound. For us, it's just kind of cool, and the fans dig that. You know, like let's take In the Air Tonight. I mean, we did, Axl, there's been a lot of covers of that song, and Axl has a cover, and it's freaking cool with our sound. So that's the reason we do these cover things. It's just, you know, we're fans of those songs, and we just want to hear it with our style, and
right,
it's just
right.
The fans dig it.
Well, have you ever been asked to participate, you know, contribute vocals to, you know, one of these collaborative things with other artists at all?
No, people don't really like me. They don't call. My phone, look, we're on how long? No one's calling.
That's right. Because my phone is hung up, therefore nobody's calling Johnny. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, when my phone rings, it's always for new projects that I have absolutely no time to do. A lot of writing stuff and collab stuff, a lot of gaming music and stuff like that. But phone doesn't ring for that reason.
Right on. Well, dude, let's transfer over to gaming stuff. You're obviously coming to my place next Sunday.
That's next Sunday.
Hey, you better be there too. God damn it.
I'll be there.
But yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's on Sunday, May the 26th. It is the Crush 40. What are we calling it? The Crush 40 Live Experience with Johnny singing his hits from gaming. I know a lot of our audience is probably not familiar with Crush. I know when you and I started the business, you were stunned that I didn't know much about Crush. So yes. why don't you tell people a little bit about how you got into gaming and gaming music? Because, you know, I know this, but you could tell people you're not a gamer.
No, hell no. You don't. Yeah, no. So first of all, I'm excited for next week, man. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
Pinball PA. What a place, man. I saw all the pictures online. Jesus, it's going to be fun. So I got into gaming music. This is, we're going back to 1998. And the main composer of Sega Corporation, the main composer's name is Jun Sonoi, and he was a big fan of Hardline. And I believe it was, Doug Aldridge who gave Jun my number.
Okay.
And we got in touch, and he said, "Hey, we have this console, this NASCAR driving arcade game thing, and would you sing a bunch of songs for that game?" I was like, "What the hell? Yeah, that sounds cool." And so I sang like 9 songs or whatever, and then that's it. That they made this console, and it went into the arcades and blah, blah, blah. And then about a year or two later, I get a call and said, Sega would like to hire me to work on a game, Sonic Adventure 1. And that kicked off the whole career with a song called Open Your Heart, which I didn't write. I just perform on. And that became one of the biggest songs until Sonic Adventure 2, with a song that I wrote called Live and Learn. And Live and Learn today is one of the biggest, most popular game songs in history. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of streams. And talk about remakes. I think my grandmother remade the song and put it up on YouTube. Everybody. And which is such an honor. It's great. And the song was just picked up by Paramount for the new Sonic 3 movie starring Jim Carrey. And I think Keanu Reeves, I don't know if it's official yet, but I think he's the voice of Shadow. So they're taking these games now and they're rolling them into real, movies, casting them into and taking, because they're so epic in their whole plot and storyline. And the music behind it's awesome, man. Like you have to reach, I'm not a gamer, but I'm told you have to reach certain levels to release certain tunes and, certain battles and all this kind of stuff. And I'm a gaming idiot, so I have no idea. Chris's son could help us out. Can we patch him in? Mike, get on here. What? And that continued literally. I did a game called, see how bad I am? It's a racing game. I don't do the games, man. Anyway, and so this music has become iconic. And
what makes it hit, though, dude? I know the kids get to it, or I shouldn't say kids, because I know it's a lot of 30-year-old guys that are playing these games. But
yeah,
do they hear the song and like get on a Discord server and talk about it or share it? I mean, because Live and Learn, it's not like it was on any chart or something, but it was never like a top 20 radio hit. So it had to kind of almost find its way to having 100 million streams underground, like old school underground, right?
I was just going to use that word. That's exactly right. Yeah. So gaming, let's go back 20 years. Gaming was thought of as like, you're a nerd. If you're a gamer, you're a weirdo. You're this, that, and the other. We know that today that is completely false.
Right.
I'll do a show in Santiago, Chile with 20,000 people, man. Singing my gaming music. It's in pure insanity. But yeah, it just evolved and just snowballed into this massive fan base. And when I started getting into it as a musician, I was thinking, okay, these are movies to me. Because I'm not a gamer, I go, okay, here's a scene and I'm gonna write for this scene like a movie. And so I thought that's why we turned it into a band. I told Jun Sonoi, I said, hey, I'll use the same expression. Either the kid, even though they're not kids anymore, will get the game because they love the game or the characters, or they get it because they love the music and they know that Crush 40's on it, they're going to buy it.
Right.
And it just kind of works you know, really well. So here we are, you know, since 1998. And I will tell everybody, I haven't told many people. So you're hearing this first. I was literally nominated for a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for my contribution to gaming music. And wow. I'm blown away. Now, I don't know if it'll come full circle on that, but the nomination is there that I'll get my own star. And I'm like, what? You have all these rock albums I've made and metal albums and this and that. Like, if I have a star, it's going to be because of my contribution to gaming music. But, yeah. You know, to me, it's music. I don't, right? You know, it's music, man. And I enjoy making it. So it's what an honor. It's
crazy. You'll have your star next. You'll have your star next to Luigi somewhere.
I don't know. No, actually, I understand it would be a pretty good spot. And if you piss on my star, that's it, man. We're done. We're done.
It'll be right next to Bugs Bunny.
Right?
Yeah. I'll take it, man. I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Dude, let's talk a little bit. Let's do some selling here for a minute.
Okay.
Obviously,
what are we selling?
We're selling next Sunday.
Come on. Let's go.
Next Sunday, you're going to be doing, and I can't stress this enough, and I can't thank you enough for doing it, but sure. You're doing a super, super rare appearance. This is not a concert as much as it is meet Johnny, get photos, get autographs, get a show. You don't do these. Like, you...
Not often, man. Not often.
When's the last time you did a Crush 40 performance? It's been a while, right?
Yeah, it's been a while. There was a convention event called Too Many Games, and that was probably the last time, which was a complete, total sellout.
Right.
Insanity. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. Yeah, these events, man, so you know me, Chris, I love people. And mm-hmm. So this is my giving back to those fans that have been around for since 98.
Right.
And I get a chance to actually talk to them, answer questions and take pictures and have fun. And we're doing something cool next week, Neely. We're going to actually, cause I'm a gaming idiot, but we're doing some competitions and I think that's all sold out, right?
Chris? It is. Yeah. It's all sold out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, look, that's a beautiful thing, but I'm going to actually game and compete against some of the fans. And they're gonna annihilate me. I mean, they're gonna steamroller my fucking ass to an oblivion. But it's gonna be a lot of fun, you know. And we're gonna do giveaways, and it's important to me now that I give back, you know, to these fans who have literally been there from day one. That's what's really interesting and separates. I mean, look, we're fans of our bands and the groups that we love our whole lives. And, but this is a real genre of music. And these kids, kids, they hang on to this music. This is their, mm-hmm. this is their lifeblood. You'll see next week, Chris, I don't even have to sing a word if I didn't want to. I will. I promise you I will. But as long as the show's
back line for you,
as long as the show's early, man, because this is late as hell. 10:40, Jesus Christ. Yes, so these kids will sing every word.
Right on.
Every word. I could put the microphone out there and it is done. It's incredible, man. Still blows me away. I love it. I can't wait. What the hell's the name of this town that we're going to?
Aliquippa.
Aliquippa.
Yeah.
Okay. That's new. That's new for me.
It's 20 miles outside the great city of Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. Right on.
All
right.
Yeah.
All right. Didn't my New York Rangers beat Pittsburgh?
I'm no Pittsburgh fan. The only thing I do in Pittsburgh is the gaming. I'm a Cleveland guy.
That's right. You're a Cleveland guy. Yes, of course. How about my Rangers, guys? You see my New York Rangers tearing it up?
Dude, there ain't neither one of us knows a goddamn thing about hockey.
Really? Okay, shit.
Nothing. Nothing.
All right, really? Got nothing. All right. It's like me, dude, and gaming, so we're even.
Well, dude, I've tried with hockey. I really have tried. It's just not a TV game. It's that you can't follow the puck.
dude, you need a good TV. You
got
to start.
I got
with
a good TV.
All right. Well, then an optometrist or something next.
Well, maybe that, but maybe it's that. It could be that. I need some of that starving artist money to finally roll in so that I can buy TV.
Yes. Yeah. But you know what's funny is I have a great buddy, Matthias. I love me like a brother. He's like a brother. And he tried to get me into hockey back in, we're probably around that time of gaming, 98, 99. And the TV sucked back then. And right. It was true. I'm like, dude, I can't even see the puck. Mm-hmm. It's a ridiculous waste of time. Where is it? Where'd it go? Where is it? He's like, it's right there. He was so tuned into it. So, I got you on that. But today, you can see the puck.
All right.
Well, you definitely can.
I'll have to try again. I've tried. I've tried in every era, too, back when they used to put the big yellow dot on the puck so that it was so bigger. And yeah. So it was like watching Pong or whatever. It just never worked. I never could get it.
That's the extent of my gaming knowledge. Frogger and Pong. This could be interesting next week. What's it cost to get in there? How much are you killing people for to come see
to
me?
To see you?
Yeah.
It's
what are you doing to my people?
$65 all day. You play all day for free, and then you get a show.
Oh shit! I'll buy one of those too.
Well, why don't you buy 10?
Just to see me. All right. I think I did. Yeah. All right, $65. You. What time do you get in there? Can you get in there?
You can get in at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
so you could play from 11 to 6. Then we turn the games off and turn the stage on, and then Johnny will rock it.
Oh, man, that's going to be awesome. Yeah, so it's cool. The show will have a lot of the storyline, fan-created. It's all fan-created storyline. And then I sing with backing tracks. It's cool. I'll pull people up on stage to air guitar. It's just fun, man. It's reliving that moment in time, which was really good for a lot of these gaming people. Now I'm going to tell you a story, not to bum anybody out, but like I said, gaming was thought of as you were weird, you were a nerd, you were this, you were that. And I just recall when I was in, again, Chile, it was my first time, and I did these personal meet and greet things, and this one, I call him a kid, but he was an adult, young adult, came up to me, grabbed me, and was crying on my shoulder. I'm like, what? What is up, man? And so I thought, I was like, oh, wow, it's really so nice. The kid's so excited to meet me, and like, you don't have to cry. My wife cries because she wants me to leave. But this kid and he said, I was bullied. I was tortured. I was called names. And he goes, look at us now. And there's 20,000 people in this arena. And I'm like, whoa, man, what an impact. So it's damn exciting. It's a lot of fun. It's a great for so many, it's a good time and place. They remember playing these games growing up. I've got fans that became doctors. One of my best buddies who will be there also.
Right.
My buddy Ben, Dr. Ben, became a doctor. I have fans became lawyers, nuclear physicists. I mean, you can't believe it, man. And I've watched them all, come up and become like real humans. And then here I am still screaming into a microphone. I'm just kidding. I love it. I love it.
Hell yeah. Well, it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I and Johnny are definitely encouraging everybody that is anywhere local, come out. Definitely come out. It is next Sunday, the 26th of May, Pinball PA, the Crush 40 live experience featuring that guy right there, Mr. Johnny Giuelli.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be fun.
For the place, Chris. I mean,
It's pinballpa.com to see, and if you want to buy tickets, it's liveandlearn.pinballpa.com. Easy.
Yeah, live and learn. Hanging on the edge. They're actually, since that Chile show, there's people flying in from Chile to Pinball PA.
Well, dude, and that's been goofy all by itself. There's also people making their own bootleg T-shirts and everything else.
all kinds of stuff. Yeah, specifically for that show.
For that show, yeah.
And yeah, it's fun, man. It's great. Everyone just has. It's a big gaming music party. And,
yeah.
And I'm right there. I'm probably going to spend what good 3-4 hours just gaming with the kids and having fun with the kids.
With the kids, yeah. Well, between that and playing, I'm sure you'll do some playing yourself. You know, I'm sure you'll walk around and just be playing some pinball yourself or some games or.
Bro, to not to have to put a quarter in the machine is just blows me away. It's like, Mom, please, Mom, one more quarter, Mom. Right. Remember that when you were a kid? Mom, please, one more quarter, Mom. That's the coolest thing, man, Pinball PA. To be able to go in and just go machine to machine and they're all on, that's going to be fun.
Well, dude, Neely will tell you, man, and I mean, I say it, but it's my place, so it comes off hollow. But when you just walk into the place and you just look, you really are blown away at the enormity of it because it's so big. And man, if you happen to be in there and you probably will be on Sunday when we fire it up, Jesus Christ, it's like getting a jolt. You know, we turn it on, it's like, and 400 machines all turn on at once. Man, that's an experience all by itself, man.
Shoot, man, do you have the nuclear code or what?
I probably could in that place. There's enough power running through it to run the nuclear warheads.
It's like the scene in Christmas Vacation when he finally fires up all the lights on the house. And the power station has to flip on the backup generators.
That's right.
It really is.
That's right. Well, Jesus, man, I get pissed at my family for leaving a light on. I don't want your damn electric bill, man. Dude, that's for sure.
Let me just tell you, every day that we turn on the full power, and we've, you know, because we've been there so long, we've figured this out. Just turning the machine on, like the room on, costs $90.
Oh, man, just to turn it on.
Just, boom, flipping it on, $90.
Oh, my God. Well, thank God you're getting $60 ahead, so we got a lot of turns on.
No shit, kidding. Man. It's expensive to run that place, but it's great. The bottom line is it's a great place to come and hang out. I mean, anytime, not just when Johnny's there, especially when Johnny's there, I should say. Thank but you, it's a lot of fun, and this is going to absolutely kick ass, man. I personally want to say thank you because I appreciate you coming and doing it. I mean, yeah, we talk 400 times a day, but you know, I mean, you didn't have to give me your time. So
no,
much,
man,
much my, thanks on pleasure. That.
I hope I don't sing Guardian Angel or something like that by accident. I don't.
Don't worry, you won't remember the words. You won't remember the words, so it's all good.
Chris's backline doesn't have a teleprompter.
That's right.
Oh, I'm screwed. Believe me, I'm bringing one. But these shows, you don't need them. Because if I forget, those kids got me, man. They got me. Right. I don't have to worry. Thank God. Right, it's going to be fun. Next Sunday. I'll be in Saturday, man. I'm going to come in Saturday and hang with you guys and have a good time.
Yeah,
spending absolutely. The whole weekend. I'm in no rush to leave too. So the fans that are, you know, flying in and hanging out, I'm sure I'll see fans at the hotel and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I've been known to sit in directly onto someone else's breakfast. I just nice. Sit down, and just share eggs. It's good. We have fun.
Well, Johnny, one of the things I wanted to ask you before we cut you loose here, you know, I consider you an elite singer. I mean, you know, you're one of those rare people who have that recognizable, unique vocal style. So as a vocalist, who's your favorite vocalist?
Damn it.
Neely, Chris Aiken.
Chris Aiken's got a good voice, man.
Stop.
Chris Aiken can sing. No, Chris Aiken can sing. I ask him to sing by a window. I help him out. Okay, bad joke. Yeah. Who's my... Oh, man.
Vince Neil.
Interview's over. I love Vince Neil. So I listen to all kinds of singers, all kinds of different genres of music, like Teddy Swims. And I don't know that I can answer that question. You know, okay, so rock singers. I mean, I came up with Klaus Meiner. You know, I came up with Scorpions, and I've always loved Klaus's voice. I love Frank Sinatra. I mean, just there's so when I'm listening to a singer, I listen to a phrasing, the way a guy will like lay a word out. You know, like Frank Sinatra kind of he talks, sings, you know what I mean? But his phrasing and timing is just brilliant, man. So I listen to different singers for different things. That was a shitty answer. I don't know, man. Fuck. I don't know, man. There's so many. I mean, like, I'm flipping through Instagram. Do you know how many talented singers are out there? It's insane, man.
Yes.
You know, this kid who does the barbershop cutting thing, and he has kids sitting in the chair and they're singing. You can't believe some of the talent. Like, I want to quit. I hear some of these kids sing, and I'm like, I can't do that. That is just gift beyond gift. So anyway, I'll flip through the channel, go through Spotify and just like hit different things. And Spotify only pays 0.0004 cents per stream. Never mind. That was our royalty business kicked in. But I'll listen to all kinds of shit, all kinds of singers. Love Steve Perry. How can you not? Anyway, terrible answer.
No, it's all good.
Got nothing, Neely.
Like if someone were to ask me who, one of my top favorite rock singers, I would say like John Bush from Armored Saint.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because right every on, time yeah. I've seen that guy with, when he was with Anthrax, and I've seen him numerous times with Armored Saint, that guy
throws it down, man.
As far as his delivery is concerned live, he just brings it every time. And we played a new song last week that he's involved in a collaboration. What's it called, Chris?
Category 7.
Yeah. Just blows you just blows your wig back, man.
Yeah.
See, absolutely. Johnny, I'm going to give you the right answer now, Johnny.
Okay.
The right answer would have been, guys like Jack Russell or Jeff Scott Soto or Don Dokken, or who else have we got signed to Starving Artists? Come on, man. Sell the things that we can make money on.
They're amazing. I love them all.
Those guys are the best. Go listen on Spotify right now.
Yes. Listen. Screaming. Well, 50 different computers.
Right. Well, speaking of great vocalists, you can see one of the greatest vocalists, Johnny Gioeli, next Sunday.
Ooh, that's right.
At the Pinball PA in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. So go to the Pinball PA website, find out how to get tickets, go over there. It opens at 11 a.m. Eastern time.
Yep.
And it goes till 6, and then Johnny's going to serenade you.
That's right.
I wish I could be there, but I won't be attending, but I would love to. But anyway, for those of you who can go, and you should go.
Yes, please come and join us.
Be a lot of fun.
All right, Johnny. Well, it's been fun having you on the show again. I always appreciate your viewpoint, your insight on things, and obviously the fact that another Axel Rudy Pell release is coming out, and which I'm a huge fan of, and a fan of yours as a vocalist, and always a pleasure.
Thank you. Likewise, Neely. Thanks for everything. Chris, you're kind of okay.
Look at Johnny. He's got one foot headed toward the door already so he can go to sleep.
I'm out of bed. So listen, I'm an oxymoron rocker, man. I'm up 4:35 in the morning because I love to see the sun come up. And this is late. This is late for me. But then I get on tour. I leave June 14th. I'm heading to Norway, going to Bulgaria, Germany, Switzerland, Sweden. I'm all over. I only return for 3 short visits through November. Yeah. June to November, I'm only back for 3 short little visits. I am more shows than most people have had hot meals.
Yeah, and so this is on the year he said he wasn't going to do any shows.
I have a I have an issue with saying no, you know. You know, the reason is, you know, it's, you got to be grateful for this stuff, man. When people want to see you perform and there's an opportunity to perform, you can't say no.
Well, Johnny, this audience knows when you're on tour because they see me with the bags under my eyes from answering texts at 4 a.m. You're like, hey, did you take care of this or that? And I answer at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
you know,
don't do that. Don't do that. Shut it off. Yeah, I forget, man. I think, well, you don't sleep.
I
Most
don't
people sleep.
Sleep.
So
yeah,
I'm pretty sleep. It's usually not too much of a gamble. You're usually going to answer. So.
Dude, Neely, anyway. you would laugh at this. He'll throw me a text, and it will be like 3:30, 4 in the morning or whatever about, you know, okay, can you handle this or that? And I'll answer right back, and the first thing I get back is, why aren't you asleep?
Yeah, go to sleep, man. I'm expecting his phone to be off, and when he turns it on, the message will pop in. Like, dude, go to sleep.
Never.
Yeah. But even I change the schedule. So when I'm on tour with Axel Rudy Pell, I change the schedule. We all go to bed usually around 3 a.m. That's right. When we go to sleep. And then we wake up, and breakfast call is at 11 in the morning. So that's plenty of sleep. We're good. We're
right on.
We don't have a tour bus anymore, guys. We have an ambulance. We drive it. We got guys on CPAP machines and injecting stuff and all kinds of shit. We're like, it's a traveling Pfizer bus of antibiotics and whatever to keep us going. But anyway, thank you guys.
Real quick, Johnny, before you go, this just came in from the chat room. Do you happen to know where you're playing in Switzerland?
Yeah, I'm playing Z7, which is the famous club in Prattlin. Z7 with Hardline. That's going to happen. I'm also playing this new small. I love these little venues. I'm playing Johnny's Cave, which is like 80 people.
Nice.
80 of the best. It's, you have people at your feet. I sing right down to. It's awesome. I love these, and I wanted to do another one, and it's called the Silver Cube venue. That's also in Switzerland. And shit, I think there's one more. But if you go to, you know, hardlinerocks.com or Johnny Gioeli, you know, all my socials. Pages, all my socials, it's on there. But yeah, lots of shows in Switzerland. Z7's cool. the big show for us.
Okay.
This year.
Awesome.
Right,
awesome.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, Johnny, it's always a pleasure. Go see Johnny next Sunday over at Pinball Play in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. And I think since we're talking gaming and all that fun stuff, I think the best way to end this interview is play the Crush 40 song with Live and Learn. What do you think?
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Perfect. All right, Johnny. Well, I probably won't see or talk to you again in probably a year from now.
Wow, look at that.
Who did that?
Wasn't me.
Oh, come on now.
It really wasn't.
Oh, you know, when you go like this, I think you get a special effect. Yes!
Oh, look at that. Did not know
did
that.
Did you know that?
No.
And if you go like, I think if you go like this, you get something. Wait. Yeah, see?
Really? I had no idea. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, and this, you get this.
Well, you know more than we do.
That looks, I thought, like you guys did that.
No.
That looks like Satan. An ABC album cover.
Nice.
Looking That's over awesome. My shoulder. Satan, get away.
I was like, wow, look at this guy.
Like, get back, Satan. Okay. Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you. Neely, thanks again, man. I appreciate it. Chris, tomorrow I'm sure I'll speak to you.
Yep, absolutely.
Times.
All right, guys. Here's Johnny Gioeli with Crush 40 doing Live and Learn exclusively here
on your Classic Metal Show.
The Classic Metal Show and Chris Akin Presents are proud to call Rumble our official video platform. no more being censored by fucking YouTube and other big tech platforms. All segments of The Classic Metal Show and Chris Akin Presents are available now on our Rumble channel. Follow our channel at www.rumble.com/C/CMS. Want it on your TV? Just install the Rumble app on your Roku, Amazon, Apple devices, and most smart TVs. We have the other shitty platforms for the lazy people, but why watch it censored when you can see our shows the way they were meant to be presented? Subscribe at www.rumble.com/C/CMS or search The Classic Metal Show on the Rumble app. Let's go!